Chapter 2. The first time Jared heard the noise, he was hunting a rabbit. Crouched low in the underbrush, his paws were silent on the mostly dissolved detritus. Wide hazel eyes focused intently on the movements of his prey as it picked its way casually through the grass. It paused, ears flicking up, and it stood on its back legs, searching its surroundings, and Jared went stock still, even his usually irresponsible tail freezing. For a long moment nothing happened, and Jared barely breathed, before the rabbit lowered itself, going back to its grazing. Jared's muscles bunched, his whole body beginning to quiver with the beginnings of a pounce, when a tiny sound broke the still, and the rabbit's ears shot forward. The sound came again, something like a squeak, and Jared made the mistake of turning his head to look, and he sighed, the rabbit having caught his motion, and he was stuck watching it flee, kicking up the remains of last year's leaves. With a huff of disappointment, the werecat pushed himself up from his crouch, padding casually through the clearing. He'd been looking forward to that rabbit, too. He sniffed around the area the rabbit had been eating, picking up the scent of its droppings and the dander left by the shedding of its winter coat. No doubt it lived nearby, but Jared wasn't putting a lot of hope in catching it now. Probably off warning all its little woodland friends. Jared assumed that's how it worked. And he'd be stuck with an empty stomach, unless something turned up in his haphazard traps. Distantly, the voice of his irritating Boy Scout troop leader came back to him, talking about how important survival skills were, while Jared had rolled his eyes like a little punk. "Bet you'd be laughing your ass off now, Joe." He was brought up short when he heard the sound again, his ears flicking straight up to try and catch it. The tip of his tail twitched, and then the noise came again, and Jared figured that if he wasn't going to get lunch, he might as well find out what it was that had denied him his meal. Curiosity killed the cat, sure, but Jared wasn't certain if his instinct to go poking his nose into things was something he could blame on his species. He seemed to be a natural at getting himself into trouble all on his own. The sound was coming from down by the river, and Jared was surprised he'd even heard it. Not 150 yards downstream, some particularly noisy rapids started, and whatever it was making the squeaks wasn't that loud. Jared trotted easily over the ground, pausing only when he got to the embankment. He jumped from ledge to ledge, descending to the river's level without too much difficulty. He preened slightly at the bottom. 2 years ago, he'd have been flat on his face at the bottom. He couldn't linger in his pride, though, because the quiet mules were continuous here, one fading into the next one, and Jared found them more than just distracting. For all their faintness, the noises were having some strange effect on him, each creaky whine aching in his belly. The sound made him feel inexplicably sad. He slunk low, ears going down as he crept through the undergrowth. Time and effort had taught him to be wary, to wait. His memory was anything but fuzzy when it came to his first few months in the forest, back when he was 17. He remembered investigating noises in a den, only to be rewarded with a jaw full of porcupine quills. His mouth had been so swollen that he'd barely eaten for weeks. He remembered finding out which plants he could eat when in his human form, and which one would cause him to be sick for days. He remembered the patience it took to hunt, to learn how to be still, and how long it took before he brought something down by himself. It was impossible to forget that kind of hunger, so long and deep that it felt like it was something living inside of him, so desperate that at times all he could do was lay by his campfire and cry like a child. He'd learned his lesson well. The forest didn't have a lot of forgiveness for mistakes, and as curious as he was now, he didn't plan to let it get the better of him. When he finally broke through the cover, he saw the river, wide and frothy. The water was climbing over rocks as it moved towards the rapids, but whatever was making the sound wasn't that far out. It was in some kind of wicker basket, floating in an eddy at the edge of the river. Jared paused in surprise, blinking widely, his slit eyes focusing on the object, and for a moment he didn't move. Then there was a particularly loud cry from the basket, and before he could even think, he had leapt down to the river's edge, padding through the mud gingerly. He stretched his neck out, sniffing at the basket. Mostly, he just smelled the river, wet and fetid, the combination of 1,000 rotting corpses and plants, all flowing downriver to bring new life. But just under that, he could smell something else, something soft and small, something that made him whine, low in his throat, without conscious command. He jerked his head back, surprised at himself. On the one hand, the way the noise was affecting him was just making him more curious. But on the other, he didn't like the way it was as if he were under something's thrall, as if whatever was in that basket was controlling him. Whatever it was dangerous. He shifted into his human form, feeling mud squelch between his toes as he cautiously reached out, scoffing at how he was afraid of a picnic basket, and flipped the latch holding it shut. He paused, then in one quick motion he threw the lid back. What he saw inside was nothing like what he would have predicted. Jared peered in and saw several small bodies, kittens, pressed into the padding of the basket. They were dark gray and brown, damp with river water and something else, and Jared recoiled, feeling shock run through him. He almost stumbled away from the basket, almost dashed back to the cover of the underbrush when his eyes tracked the slightest movement, and he paused. A second later, one of the bodies shifted, moved, its barely open mouth parting to let out that high-pitched mew like a sucker punch straight to Jared's gut. "Christ," he muttered, breathless. The kitten was weakly moving its still webbed paws against the unmoving bodies of its siblings, and Jared felt cold horror skitter through him. It was a terrible sight, something Jared never wanted to look at. He licked his lips and got his legs under himself, pulling the floating basket closer until it lodged securely in the mud, and he carefully reached in, all too aware of how huge his hands were in comparison to the kitten. He wriggled his fingers down under its body, gently lifting it up. Jesus, it was cold. There was no body heat, and even as it moved, it still felt dead, like a living corpse, cold through and through. Hey, it's okay, little guy, he murmured. The kitten crying out again, and Jared pressed it up against his chest, right over his heart, where there was the most heat. He rubbed its loose skin tenderly, trying to get its blood pumping. At the feel of a warm body, the kitten seemed to come to life, struggling and crying more, making Jared wince, some weird instinct lancing through his body, and he cupped his palm over the wiggling baby in his hands. Just hold on a sec. He paused to remaneuver things, shifting one hand away to grasp the handle of the basket and pulled it out of the mud and onto the bank. He couldn't take any chances, needing to be sure as he touched each body, making certain. The other 5 were stiff with rigor, long past dead, and Jared felt a sick grief but didn't have time to dwell on it. He'd come back and bury the bodies once he was sure the one survivor was going to be okay. His first instinct was to make his way into town and buy some kitten formula, but there were a lot of problems with that plan. The first being that he had no car, and the walk took a whole day, And the second being that he didn't have money. That's what you get for living in the woods like a crazy mountain man, he mentally chastised himself, but then amended, crazy mountain cat. He assuaged his worry with the knowledge that food wasn't what the kitten needed right now. It was probably dehydrated, and until Jared warmed it up, there was no way it would be able to digest the food. The added stress could kill it. That didn't get rid of the food problem, but at least put it on the back burner. He took the kitten back to his campsite, quickly setting up a fire, and spent the evening wrapped up with the tiny body, sharing his body heat, laying close to the fire. He didn't let himself sleep any deeper than a doze, worried about rolling over and crushing the helpless thing. It was still blind, eyes sealed over, its body covered in only a thin sheen of baby fur, its legs flaily and ineffective. Jared didn't know what the story was behind the basket of kittens, but he knew enough to gather that they'd been taken straight from their mother's womb. He also wasn't an idiot. As tiny as the cub was, it wasn't anything as small as a domestic cat kitten would be. It was newborn, but still at least the size of a grapefruit. This was either the cub of a mountain lion or the cub of a werecat, and given that the Blue Ridge Pride lived upstream of him, well, Jared was willing to bet money. And that meant a lot of things. A lot of things that Jared didn't really want to look at right now. In the morning, he half expected to find that the little one had passed in the night, and he couldn't help but smile when he touched its chest, felt it rise and fall. More than that, felt that it was warm. He got up carefully, bundling the kitten in the blankets while he got dressed, moving out to the edge of his campsite with a small trowel and digging 5 little graves. He brought the basket back from the river and tenderly removed each corpse, laying one in each of the graves and covering them with loose dirt, gently patting it down. The least he could do. After that, though, he had a dilemma. He needed food for the kitten, but he didn't really want to leave the kitten alone while he went into town. He could get there faster in his cat form, but that also meant arriving naked. Then there was the whole money issue. He did have some, but it wasn't a lot, and probably not enough for kitten formula. Eventually, the problem not getting any better with time, he packed some clothes and whatever cash he had, hoping to throw himself on the generosity of the people in town. And if he had to, their curiosity, even though he really hated that idea, eyes all over him, dehumanizing and inconsiderate, maybe even hands reaching out like he were a pet, as if he weren't a living, thinking being. He shifted quickly into a cat, the process swift and painless, nothing like the frustrating trials of his younger years, and moved to nose his pack onto his back when he felt something strange. It felt like something was tugging on the skin of his stomach, like loose skin. He glanced down between his forelegs, but all he could make out was more fur. He had to lay down and look over his shoulder to finally discover the problem, only to regret the discovery altogether. He'd never been exactly wild on the whole 8 nipples thing, but his brothers had had the same thing, so it was something that Jared had mostly ignored up until this point. They were, after all, vestigial, just like the 2 he had in his human form. Only, apparently not. Because somewhere between hearing the cries of a hungry kitten and waking up, his body had decided that they weren't vestigial, not even a little bit. He would have liked to say that it was something humorous or weird, something that he'd laugh about later, thinking back on it. But it wasn't. Mostly it was just emasculating, something that brought back bad memories and an age-old shame, gut deep. Jared pushed himself quickly to his feet, pacing away from the campsite with a need for space, a need to move. It wasn't an unfamiliar sensation, feeling his body rolling away without him, doing things he'd never asked it to do. It wasn't like being on a runaway train. It was like being trapped, hedged in by a body that seemed unconcerned with what gender it was, or what the mind inside of it wanted. It didn't matter, though, in the end. After a little while, the cub woke up and began to call and squeak, and as much as Jared shut his eyes against it, every instinct in his traitorous body wanted to go to it, give it the warmth and shelter and food it required. He paced for a little while, back and forth in front of the mess of blankets, watching the newborn wriggle ineffectually, attempting to crawl around, and Jared knew exactly what it was looking for. He couldn't say he was proud of himself when he denied the kitten for almost 2 hours, wandering far enough away that he couldn't hear its cries, desperate to deny everything that was happening to him again. But as messed up as he felt, he knew he'd be even more messed up to starve a baby to death just to preserve his masculinity. With a snarl of frustration, he eventually headed back to his camp, feeling guilt swoop in at the cub's plaintive cries, hungry and pathetic. Jared made his way over and stepped gingerly onto the blankets, feeling flush as if there were eyes in the forest watching him. "Get over yourself, Padalecki. There's no one else here, and the dying kitten is still blind, you ass." He swallowed hard, then settled himself down, laying mostly on his side, but with his head up and forelegs out in front of him. He stretched his neck out, parting his jaws to carefully lift the cub, listening to it squeak and mewl in surprise before depositing it in the lee of his belly. For a second, the two just lay where they were, at an impasse. "Ah, come on, just, you know, do your thing. I'll look over this way, you'll look over that way, and we can both pretend it never happened, and then tomorrow everything will be fine and normal and not lactating." Except the kitten didn't seem to want to accept his clearly superior logic, floundering around on shaky muscles and, eventually, managing to turn itself right the way around away from the food. "It's like you want to die. Just, ugh. Okay, come here, little dude." He leaned in, finally, and began to nose at the tiny creature, shifting it around and guiding it, step by careful step, to where the fur grew thin on Jared's belly, teats pressing outwards. Teats. Christ. Jared was at least somewhat mollified when the kitten seemed to get the right idea, nuzzling in through the sparse fur until it could find a nipple. Then it seemed to go from errantly curious to downright deadly, Jared wincing as its tiny mouth latched on, basically chewing on him. Jared groaned, a discontented sound, putting his head down on the ground and shutting his eyes, trying to ignore the everything. After a while, the pain seemed to lessen, or at least numb, and Jared was surprised to see that he was kneading with his paws, stretching them slowly out in front of him and then flexing, dragging pine needles and bits of leaves back to himself. He eventually talked himself into looking back over his shoulder, seeing the one tiny cub working determinedly at feeding itself, little paws pressed against Jared's skin. "At least my freaky body is good for something," he murmured to no one at all, shifting to lay down properly against the blankets underneath him. He comforted himself with that knowledge, trying to deny the rush of warmth through his chest when the cub, exhausted and full, fell asleep curled up against Jared's skin,